everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games, brought to you by O-Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O-Rock.
I'm Michael Gray, the head writer and spin-off artist of O-Rock.
And I'm psyched to say that we have a special guest this month, our good friend Diana Gray, the voice of Francie Drew in the Francie Drew games.
Hello. That's me.
How you doing, Diana?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course, we're delighted to finally have someone besides just us on this thing.
Now that's not fair. I've had a screaming baby in the background before.
That's true. I think the puppy showed up at one point too.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. Yeah. So we wanted to invite Diana on this month. We just released a brand new game on Steam on December the 5th, the Francie Drew and Friends Collection, and Diana plays a big part in several of those games. As I said, she's the voice of Francie. She also portrays Awesome Sauce 3915 in Who Am I? The Let's Play Disaster. And I think she did testing on a whole bunch of the games, too. So, I mean, she's like employee number three at O-Rock Studios,
Sweet.
Pretty much.
it was a lot of fun to work on all of this with you guys, though, so can't complain.
I appreciate that.
I was going to say that I remember recording with Diana for Francie Drew, and I purposely did not tell her any of the script or storyline details ahead of time, because Francie is supposed to be confused by this phone call. So by not telling Diana what was going on, she really portrayed the confusion.
The confusion is real.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about that a little bit, actually. I was so I mentioned on Twitter earlier today I was looking for questions for Diana, and Joe Reviewer, our friend from Game Cola, he wanted to know, he said that I'd be interested in the voice line recording process. Did you do live direction or record all at once and then later redo takes? Yeah, so how did this work? It sounded like, because I don't know either. but it sounds like you and Michael were on Skype or Discord or something together, kind of recording the lines that way. Is that correct?
For two, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, for the second game.
Yes. We, I don't even think we were supposed to be doing Francie that night. We were going to do a podcast or something. And then.
Yeah, we were going to do something else.
And then it just turned into, hey, I have these lines for Francie written. Can you read them for me? And I was like, okay. Like, sure. That's how those lines ended up coming out. I don't think there was too much repeating, like, doing lines back and forth. But
yeah, I think we had to do one or two takes of each line. I think that was it. You said something like, oh, with the first one, I did two or three takes of each line, and then Paul just decided which one was best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I should go. We should back up a little bit. So with Francie Drew 1, The Mystery of the Missing Mother-in-Law, we only had like a handful of lines, like two or three lines that were voiced in that game. There's one where you introduce the game. There's what is it? It was you,
it was
right?
You.
Yeah. Yo, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
okay. It was you. And I, of course, just pointed while I did that, because I did that every time I read that line.
Yes. And I believe you also sent me a few bonus lines as well.
I speaking did.
Of which I don't know if any eagle-eared listeners have found them in the game somewhere, but I hid them. If you want to find them, there's some nice Phoenix Wright references.
I said, these better be used. I don't care where, just put them someplace.
Yeah, so go find. I should have made an achievement for finding them, actually. Oh, that's a
you
good idea.
You should have, and it could have been a picture of my face.
I can do that. I will do that. Don't tempt me.
I've always wanted to have a Steam achievement that's a picture of my face.
I'm literally writing this down. Don't tempt me.
Woo!
Francie achievement, Diana face. Anyway, yes. So that was the first game. Like, it was really just, like, you know, a few lines that were almost more like sound effects than anything else. It wasn't like recorded dialogue in a scene. But then with Francie 2, we tried to get a little more ambitious. We have three scenes in the game where Francie is on the phone with somebody. And we thought it might be fun. That would provide a good opportunity to introduce actual voice acting into the game.
Yeah, and it's the actual title of the game, too, isn't it? Francie Drew and the Mystery of the Midnight Caller?
Mm-hmm. Secret of the Shady Midnight Caller. Come
Secret
on, man.
Secret of the Shady Midnight Caller. Oh, I'm failing.
Yeah, well, I think we changed it because we didn't want both games to be mystery of something.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So, the interesting thing is with Diana's lines, I think I gave her the script. I sent you a copy of the script as a text file, just the part that you were reading.
I didn't have any of the other lines.
And so, I fed you the other lines, but I did it in, I didn't actually voice act any of the lines, so she'd be like, "What? Who is this? Where's my $10,000? Huh? I have no idea what you're talking about. You owe me $10,000. I said it with that much enthusiasm, which...
Yeah, it was a little bit hard to work from, not gonna lie.
I had no idea...
I was really confused.
At the time, I had no idea I was to be expected to do the voice of that character.
I guess we hadn't quite figured that. Hey, I did the other two characters, all right.
Yeah, you did.
That was fun. I got to play in Audacity with one of them. One of the characters I portrayed was supposed to be using a voice changer, so I made it deeper and sounded like I was a robot, and that was a lot of fun. So you guys got together, you recorded the lines on Skype. Anything mm-hmm. weird or interesting happening while you were doing that? Any
no.
fun stories?
I mean, no? that was basically it. We had the we had the lines just sitting on my computer for a while.
Yeah, I don't think there were any really funny stories that came out of that. I just remember sitting on the floor in my room recording these lines that I had no idea where they were going to go in the future.
So you didn't know like what the plot of the game was?
No.
What?
Nothing. I knew nothing except what Michael told me, which was very minimal.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I mean, it came out really well considering you didn't know what you were doing or what you were saying.
Well, because the confusion was real.
Yeah.
I had no idea what was going on.
Oh, wait, I remember a funny story. I think for some of the lines that Francie has, there are one or two lines. Like, one line is just a question mark in the script.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what do you want me to do?
And I think another line was, like, Francie yawning or snoring, and Diana's like, yeah, I'm not doing
not
this.
Paul... Those snores are not Diana.
I would just like everyone to know, that's not me snoring, but the yawning, I believe, is me.
The snore is my little bunny rabbit.
Aww.
What?
Does your my rabbit get, cute. Like, a credit for a voice of Francie Drew? Rabbit?
Rabbit.
Hang on. That's another change I have to make.
Put it above the voice of Diana.
Hey!
Voice of Francie Drew. Phoenix Wright, Ace Bunny, and then Diana Gray.
I love that. I will happily share voice credits with Phoenix.
But yeah, I like the question mark one too, where you're just like, huh? I think is
the only way I could think of to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll like, just go, just make a confused noise. Yeah, I think it turned out pretty well.
Fun.
Yeah, I'm happy with it.
So
I hope if we do another Francie Drew game in the future, I think we'll try to incorporate voice acting in it again. I think it worked out great. We had great actors to work with, obviously, Diana and my rabbit. And
yep. I would be very happy to come back and voice Francie again.
But yeah, like as I mentioned earlier, that's not the only game in the Francie Drew and Friends collection you worked on. You also helped us out with Who Am I? The Let's Play Disaster.
That I did.
Where you portray, I guess, and this is going to be slight spoilers for anyone who hasn't played that game yet. So if you have, be sure to skip ahead to whenever we finish talking about it, which isn't very helpful. But Diana plays a character who is providing Let's Play commentary over the real life of the Let's Play commentator who is Let's Playing the game while you're playing it. Is that right? Did I get that right, Michael?
That makes total sense.
Yes, okay.
There's no way to explain it.
So how did the recording with that work out? I don't remember if it was me or Michael who sent you the script.
It was you, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all you, Paul.
You just sent me a message over Twitter saying, would you possibly be able to record some video for us? And I was like, I mean, I guess so. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. And the only thing I remember is you were like, you cannot have anything Phoenix Wright in the background or be wearing a Phoenix Wright shirt. And I was like, I'm wearing my Magatama. You can't stop me. And then I did.
Because I knew if I didn't say it, you definitely would have.
Because you were afraid to get sued. But, so I did that. And again, I had no context for the game other than the lines that I was recording. So I didn't know where my face was going to be going. That was fun.
To be fair, I don't think we knew it yet either.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys, based on what you told me, it didn't sound like you guys knew yet either. Yeah. My favorite line was with a hippopotamus. And then it just goes into something else. And I was like, where did that story come from? Like, I had to brainstorm for something good for that one. But overall, that was one of the, I think, because I play tested Francie too. Mm-hmm. And I think that one, the Let's Player one, was the first one I played once they officially came out, because I really wanted to see how that one turned out.
Did it turn out okay?
I think so. I thought it was hilarious. I also like that you used, for the times when I'm not talking, my profile picture is a pigeon with a bow on. I like that
I think I asked you. I think you requested that. I may have done,
but I don't remember.
You definitely requested a pigeon. You might have specified a pigeon with a bow.
I may have requested a pigeon with a bow, because that was kind of my profile for Hatful when I was first starting my channel. And I was like, let's do a throwback to that.
Yeah, no, I came through. Don't worry.
Yeah, that was great. Like a decision. Wasn't that like partway through where we decided we needed a picture or something as a background for when my character wasn't talking?
Yours is like you in sunglasses or something.
Love that picture. So
that picture's
much.
Amazing.
Well, yeah, because I was in the middle of coding. I guess I just started coding that part, and I had to figure out what to do when the video wasn't playing. I could have also had the video disappear, but I thought it would be funny to have a weird, goofy avatar. And then once I did that for Michael's character, that meant I had to do it for all of the characters in the game. For those of you who haven't played it yet, there's, what, Michael plays a character, and then there's four other Let's Players that show up. Diana gets the bulk of the dialogue, but there are a few people that have one line each, in addition, including me. I portray a character named Dr. Radtacular.
I thought that was you.
Which was not in the script. I mean, that wasn't his name in the script. I just made that up. It's
they didn't have.
Yeah. Guy wearing a business suit and a Lucha Libre mask who really just wants to be playing Minecraft. That's his character.
Yes.
Well, there were no names for those characters in the script, as I recall. It was just.
No, there wasn't.
Just person number 4, 1, 2, and 3. And yeah, we had no idea where those characters were supposed to appear. So, gosh, what happened? Because I know I recorded myself video pretending I was reacting to thumbnails and different parts of the screen. I'm sure it made for hilarious outtakes. Yeah. But I think Paul said my screen resolution or my camera resolution wasn't good enough, and so you used like actual photos.
It was tough. The full screen video just didn't look as good. So yeah, I mean, I played around with a lot of things. I think that was actually one of the things I spent the most time on in Who Am I, was just like the screen layout and what this part of the game looks like. I mean, because it was tough to visualize, and I did the best I could. I hope it turned out okay. I'm fairly happy with it. Yeah, I mean, it's video of Diana making fun of and insulting pictures of Michael, basically cooking and
the dream.
Sitting on the couch. Yeah,
and lying asleep, which I
I found the original message that you sent me.
All right.
About this game.
No.
Would you like me to read it to you?
Oh no, is this going to upset me?
Probably not, no.
Alright, let's do it.
This was in February of this year, and it says, "Hey," in all caps, and then, "would you be interested in playing a sassy Let's Player in one of our games?" And, "you would be offering LP-style commentary over another Let's Player as he goes about his daily life. Like, we'll see the LP-er folding his clothes. And you would pop up saying, look, anyone cares about doing laundry? Get a life, dude." And then you have some other technical specifications. And then at the bottom, I just say, like, hell yeah, I'll do it. Like, And then I guess you emailed me the rest.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like making fun of Michael is a pretty strong pitch.
Oh, yeah. No, hard to you turn didn't even down. Have to ask.
Yeah.
We had to do it twice. Well, no, I was going to say, actually, the picture... I know some of the pictures I actually... What was it? You had pictures of me hiding in bed.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Paul had pictures of me hiding in bed, but originally it was like a stock photo, wasn't it?
So the bed picture was actually one that I took of me under a comforter, thinking that if I couldn't get a good, whatever reason I couldn't get a picture from you, that if I was under the covers, then hey, who knows, it could be Michael. Hard to say, really.
So that was Paul playing me, so I actually... Yeah. Went and grew out my hair again months later, and just retook shots of him lying in bed, and it worked a lot better that time because I knew where the screen thumbnails were going to be.
Yeah.
But I mean that was hard to record because I had to be lying in bed and my wife had to be standing over me with the phone taking pictures.
I love that your wife is so chill with this.
She was not as chill as you would expect. She was constantly insulting my acting ability every time. She's like, "Michael, that looks fake. Oh, you don't look surprised at all. Try again."
Oh, I love her so much.
Oh, can we have her on the next podcast?
No.
No.
Anyway, that's why you got like 100 photos of me.
Yeah. That's something I was going to comment on, actually, how thanks to this project, I have like 40 pictures of Michael doing his laundry on my computer. You know, like 100 of him Ooh. Lying in bed looking scared. So that's...
Oh my god.
Maybe I'll share them online sometime. It'll be good.
Oh my god, please.
Yeah, apparently the problem is I just look like I'm acting when I'm acting.
I mean, I think they came out great. I was very happy with it.
It's sort of silly and it fits the game, so.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And yeah, I was going to say, the camera angle, like, really, like, you're lying flat on your bed, and the camera is just directly, like floating above you. Like, I'm just picturing your wife kind of, like, looming over you to take these pictures. I kind of wish I had a picture of that.
Yeah, I'd like a picture of that.
Yeah.
That's dangerous. Drops the camera, smashes my nose.
Yeah, so that was Who Am I? We've also, I think we mentioned, Diana tested a lot of our games, too. You tested both Francy games, I think, and also Awkward Steve and Cat President.
Yeah, that's true.
If I recall correctly, did I give you the weird route in Cat President to test?
You gave me Rover.
That's, yeah.
So, yes. I'm going to go with yes on that one.
I mean, I guess if any of them can be considered the weird one.
The weirdest, then it would be that one.
The cat Rover, yes.
Why is it Rover? Rover's the best. I love Rover.
Oh,
I mean, I love Rover too, but...
Yeah, I thought Frisky was the weird... Oh no, Frisky wasn't the weird...
Frisky is pretty weird. Frisky comes on very, very strong.
Big fan of Frisky's route. Big fan.
I know, but I'm thinking that Rover and Frisky were extremely easy to write for. Once I figured out how their jokes work, it was all just smooth sailing from there.
As a tester, do you have any like things you tend to look for? Do you have like a special process for testing games? Do you just kind of sit there with your laptop and just play it and see if there's anything broken that I did bad?
I mostly just play it, and then if we get to like puzzles, that's when I start messing with things and trying to see if I can break the game, which is fun. And that's what led to my intense frustration with the math puzzle in Francy 2, which apparently when I was watching that other streamer, who apparently was the other tester, stream it as well, he also had trouble with the math puzzles, so I didn't feel as bad about my life anymore.
Yeah, wait, that was Hugh's stream, I think, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I felt better about my life, for sure, once I found out someone else did the same things that I did. But aside from that, and I think the other one that I managed to break was maybe the seating puzzle, but I don't know if I remember from Fancy 1. I may have managed, I felt like I managed to break that one, but I don't remember what I did. So I'd have to go back and look at my notes.
Yeah, I think one of the things I was asking you and the other testers to do was, as they're playing the puzzles, is if you try a solution and it definitely should work and doesn't, then that's something I should know about. And I could probably see that happening. I think we actually had to code like two or three answers for the seating chart puzzle.
Maybe that's what I did then. I feel like that might have been what I did. Like,
it was the cousins. The cousins are like interchangeable. The cousins are interchangeable in some places.
Oh wait, did we might have like renamed some of the cousins to?
I think.
Yes. I think that was it, so that way I wouldn't have to code in another solution. I'm like, whatever, just name them something else. I don't have to do that. Because, yeah, I think we talked about this before.
Yeah, Ned is now Ted, I think, is what happened.
That was not an easy puzzle to code. Wasn't that, like, one of the first puzzles I'd, like, ever... I think it was the first puzzle I ever coded.
It probably was. Yeah. Given how you play it in
oh, my God, and it was... Like, there's, like, 30, 40, whatever variables in that stupid thing.
But other than that, I mean, my problem, I think, with Cat President, when I missed that huge typo, was because I was too involved in the story at that point. I was too invested, and I didn't even notice that there was a huge typo on Rover's route that did not get corrected.
Oh no, which typo was this?
No, it's corrected by this point, because you yelled at me, for missing it. One of the F's, when we're talking about mysterious F dude, said Frisky instead of F.
Yeah,
and that was the
point
where everyone actually thought it was Frisky, that it could be Frisky. So it's kind of hilarious that that happened, because I just completely skipped right over it. Like, I didn't even look. I was too invested at that point in the story to, like, pay attention to the little things, which is my problem as a tester sometimes. I have to, like, go back and do it multiple times.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I mean, considering how long we spend on these scripts and then testing this game just ourselves before it even goes out to people, like, it makes me so sad that we missed so many typos. I figured out one wonderful solution for this, though, is that I found the spell check button in RenP.
Ooh.
Which was not enabled by default, and you have to go to, like, two or three different menus to find it. But now, typos are highlighted. So there's my personal growth story.
That's great. I wish RenP worked for me the way it worked for you.
One other thing I wanted to mention about testing was with Awkward Steve. I think the original version that was just A Stranger Comes Calling, I had you test that, and then I think you tweeted something along the lines of, or maybe it was just a private message to me that you said, I'm on the title screen and I'm dying.
Yeah, it was definitely a private message to you.
Yeah.
I don't even think I tested the second one. I didn't have time at that point
when
it came out. But I tested the first one for sure. And I was like, I don't think I can do this. Like, I don't think I can make it through. That's why I've never done it on my channel. Because I don't think I'd be able to make it through the whole game without, like, dying on the floor.
I think that's exactly why you should do it.
Oh, God. Maybe someday. Well, I'm going to do Francie and all those games on my channel eventually, probably.
Awesome.
So
I think you did Francie 1 during its original release, I think.
And, I did and Francie my Nigerian 1 and Prince. Nigerian yeah. Prince during its their original releases, so I just have to do the other ones. But
okay.
Can you tell us a little about your YouTube channel? Where can people find it? What is it?
Well, my YouTube channel is Ace Fangirl. That's You could just put that into YouTube and you'll find me. That's also my name on Twitter and on my very lazily maintained Facebook page. And by very lazily, I mean never. But I'm going to get better at that. I say that every time. I do a lot of visual novels, and dating sims are kind of my specialty. But I'm trying to branch out.
Yeah, I think you talked about playing Finding Paradise,
going to be my next project.
Yeah, awesome.
Because I played To the Moon and A Bird Story on the channel, and I absolutely adore them. So once I heard that Finding Paradise was coming out, I was like, well, forgo any other plans. Like, this is what's happening next, but I got to finish up Honey Pop and Dream Daddy first.
Is that what you're playing right now?
Yeah. I only have a couple episodes left of both of those, so it's almost done. But yeah, then Finding Paradise will be next. I'm pretty excited, and everyone I know that's played it has said it's very well done. So
yeah,
we'll have to see.
I've heard different things about it. So I've heard people say it's really good, but it like the tone is kind of different compared to To the Moon.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
Yeah, it might not be like as sad, maybe, or something along those lines.
What I saw the creator tweet is that To the Moon is meant to make you cry, and Finding Paradise is meant to make you think.
Oh, interesting. Oh, I like that. Okay.
I know. I'm very, very excited because a bird story kind of, I felt like a bird story kind of bridged the gap between those two, like making you cry and think, but both to lesser extents.
I really want to go back and play a bird story, actually. It's been on my list to replay for a while. That's the one about the sick bird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
And that boy is the patient in Finding Paradise.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They kind of implied that at the end, but they confirmed it in the trailer that just came out like a week before the game did.
Well, all right, that settles that then. Then I definitely have to replay it before playing Finding Paradise. Because I don't remember it that well, but I remember being really into it. I think it's pretty short, right? It's like an hour
long. It's
very
short, yeah. It's like
an
hour.
Yeah, if that much. Yeah, cool. So looking ahead to the future, I think we were talking about this in Skype before the channel started. Yes, Skype, we're not cool enough to use Discord yet.
We were talking about
how you might have a role in our upcoming game, Internet Court. I mean, we've been emailing with you. We were emailing with you a while ago, sort of when we were first starting on the script. But I'm still hoping that we can get you in that game if it's something you're still interested in.
I would be more than happy to do that game. It sounds so much fun. Wow, it's actually like one of the first games you guys have given me the full script before I actually record anything. So how could I say no?
Yeah, well, that script has been through like 10 revisions by us since you've seen it last. So
Oh, great. Awesome.
Yeah, so I think I'll be sending you that soon. I think actually Michael was kind of writing the character of the prosecutor with you in mind, because I mean when I'm reading the lines, like, I hear them in your voice a lot of the time, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Kind of. I had the prosecutor and the prosecutor and the, what do you call the person who's not the prosecutor? Defense attorney? Phoenix. I had Phoenix and Edgeworth mixed up when I was trying to write this.
What?
Because I think case number three accidentally flip-flops them, because I knew you were going to be playing the... Well, you're going to play whichever role, and then I was going to play whichever role. Anyway, case number two, Mary plays a role in relation to the defense attorney, Vic Berger, who's, I think, the prosecutor.
Mary being your stepdaughter.
Yeah, Mary being my stepdaughter. Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, I have to play that role.
That makes sense, yeah.
That would make sense.
If she's going to be on screen at the same time as that character, then I guess I have to be that character.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, we've been ironing out issues in the script since however long it's been since we sent the first version to you. So it's good. It's really good now. I mean, it was good. It was really good to start with, and now it's really gooder.
It's gooder. Great.
It's gooder. Yeah. Hey, I play a character
so
who is bad at grammar, so I'm allowed to say stuff like that. That's gonna be tough, actually. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if I can make his non-grammatical lines sound natural. It'll be fun. So I've done voice acting for games before, right? Like, I did voice acting in Francie Drew. I did voice acting in a mobile dating game.
What?
Didn't I tell you about this?
No! Oh my god, I'm gonna have to play it now. Is it free?
I don't think my route is.
Oh god, I swear I would never pay money.
Yeah, so I play a character in a mobile game called Boyfriend Plus.
I'm looking this up right now.
That I had just answered a casting call on this voice actor's website. It's castingcall.club. And it's, believe it or not, it's a kind of a nerdy guy who is in fact a copy editor. Which is my profession.
Wow, I'm finding a lot of interesting results that I don't think are your game.
Oh no. Yeah, so you can date me. Anyone can go date me if they want right now. Like, you get I think you get like voicemail messages from me, I think is the idea.
What? Oh my god, I wanna play this.
Yeah, so I play the character, the Ulysses route. If you want to go after Ulysses, yeah, that's a thing that exists. It's not a ton of dialogue. I think I had like 5 or 6 messages that I recorded, each one being like, I don't know, 30 seconds long, something like that. So it wasn't like a ton of stuff, but yeah, so I've done voice acting, and I've done like body acting with Awkward Steve, but I've never put the two together.
So it's either going to go really well or really badly.
I'm nervous that it's going to be terrible, and I'm just hoping it can be bad in a funny way.
It's going to be great. We're going to have so much fun recording all of it together. It's going to take ages, though. I don't know when we're going to do this.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Oh, it's going to take forever.
I don't know how we're going to record. Well, it is interesting because we've already recorded all the parts for Rosie the baby. That was kind of a treat. She did not want to do that, actually. Oh, so. Yeah.
No, yeah, you definitely get to cross-examine a baby.
Yes!
Spoiler alert, I guess. Whatever, no one's going to remember this when this game comes out.
No, it's going to be a long time in the making.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, what we did was... I'll tell the whole story. So basically, we put her in a high chair. We had no idea how to do it. It's not like we have a tripod or anything to record. We used the iPad to record. So basically, what we did was we put her in her high chair against one of the blank walls in her room, and then I moved her changing table over to the middle of the room and just packed diaper boxes on top of it and used that as a tripod to balance the iPad off of.
Yes!
And
genius.
Yeah, we got the iPad in place basically just to record her, you know, while she's sitting in the chair. And then my wife, we have no idea who's going to voice any of the baby's lines, so I had my wife do the lines. I think we got through about half of them, and the baby got really tired of this really quickly. Sitting in a chair and having people kind of talk at her but not to her is just not fun at all. So, I know I've got a picture on my phone of what it looks like anyway. So what we did was I think she magically has Cheerios appear partway through.
That totally would happen in court.
Yeah, that kind of keeps her attention. But yeah, however many minutes of video it ends up being that I sent to Paul, it was, 7 minutes, 14 seconds.
Oh, man.
So the idea with the baby's dialogue is that there's supposed to be, again, spoiler alert, I guess skip ahead again if you want, whatever. But the idea is that there's supposed to be someone kind of off camera, like talking for the baby, like in the fiction of the story. That's what's happening. So I think what we're going to do is I think we have enough footage of Rosie sitting there doing baby stuff. And I think I'll just kind of layer recorded dialogue on top of that. I think it might still have to be your wife, though, because I think isn't there a part where she does come on camera?
She comes on camera, but not at the same time as the baby. We can use the exact same wall for continuity.
Okay, so I mean, it would need to be someone who could be in your house, though. I guess I'll put it that way.
Huh. Okay. So Diana, if you could fly out.
I don't think Diana can play both characters.
Mm. It's okay. She can play the hero and the person who's trying to destroy the hero's life. That would work. Yeah. She'll just put on a hat.
We could change it to be her twin sister.
Hey. I'll just do my hair like with a ponytail on one side and then a ponytail on the other side.
Oh, don't tempt me. This is funny. I don't think I know. Should do that. No. But yes, I mean, I don't think like I'll be able to like green screen someone on top of that background. I'm not that good of a video editor. So it'd have to be someone who can actually be in that room. But that's up to you.
It's okay. Yeah. I mean, we'll have to... we have wall decorations that I took down specifically, because I know you wanted no logos or anything in the background.
Yes. Yes, I Very do not important. Want Disney or Capcom, or Capcom, Diana, to sue me.
All right.
Yeah.
Capcom's not going to pay any attention to Internet Court. Why would they be thinking that's some sort of copyright issue for them? I'm so confused.
Yeah. Not to sidetrack us too much, but I've been getting pictures of people for the Pizza Delivery Boy game, right? Like, we've talked about this, how all of the character models are photos of real-life people, kind of like we did with Cat President, but, like, humans.
Yes.
And I've had to, I had to learn very quickly that I have to really, really remember to ask people not to put logos in their pictures, because if I don't say, if I'm not, like, extremely explicit about it, like, they will be wearing a shirt with, like, Nintendo N64 controllers all over it, or giant, like, Aeropostale logos or whatever, like... And I feel like, I mean, I guess I'm not a lawyer. I mean, Diana kind of is, actually. But
not yet.
Yeah, you're working on it, though.
Yes.
But I'm very, very nervous about stuff like that. So there's a couple roles in the game where, in addition to just editing the pictures like normal to get them to work with the game, I've had to also edit out giant logos on their shirts.
That was like the husband and wife character, wasn't it?
Yeah, the husband character. Yeah, was it that obvious? Oh, man.
No, it wasn't. It's because I have access to the game files. But, I mean, I went through the game files to check out his various poses, and I noticed his actual shirt looks different from what it is in the
game. Yeah. There's his character. It's one of the people working in the pizza restaurant, too, had a logo on his shirt and then one kind of on the sleeve. I mean, that's fine. It's the husband character actually was... very difficult to change, and I hope it looks okay in the final game, but I'll probably end up tweaking it again. But anyway, yeah, it's something I've learned to be very upfront.
I'll try to be nice and not force you to change his pictures and say, no, I want pose number 5, which is...
I'm going to have to do more of his pictures anyway. I think they have a second scene that I haven't gotten to yet. So there probably still will be more poses I have to do.
They have a second scene. It's basically a repeat of the first scene, except you have the option just to completely... Our hero has the option just to completely unload on this poor couple.
Oh.
And they're like, oh, okay.
Okay. It's fine.
The premise is that it was, you know, in my mind, it was like this older couple, like senior citizens who just bicker at each other the whole time. No, it works. It totally works with the younger couple, but so.
Whoops.
Yeah. A lot of the people in Pizza Boy are college aged, it turns out.
We'll have lots of people for the college scene.
Yeah, that's true.
I was going to ask, is it on the pipeline to, like, replace the pictures in the intro part where
I mean that was one of the first things I coded, so I just kind of used whatever customer pictures were handiest. We can figure out later with what customer should actually show up in that scene would make more sense.
Yeah, because yep. It can't be Finley. She never shows up to actual pizza place herself.
No, Finley was just, like, the picture I had ready to go. That's the only reason I used that there.
Finley apparently is played by a professional actress, too.
And streamer, too. I was just sitting in her stream of The Beard in the Mirror the other day.
Interesting. Like, professional actress. She was, like, on CBS. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
How are you in our game? I'm glad she got, like, the main role.
Oh. But yeah, that was Victoria Budke. Like I said, I was watching her stream of The Beard and the Mirror the other day, kind of providing, like, live hint line support.
Nice.
It was fun. It was fun. And I think she said she's going to do Awkward Steve pretty soon, too. So, cool. We got a question from Elizabeth Pfeffer. Frequent contributor to the podcast. She wants to know, and this has absolutely nothing to do with game development, by the way. She wants to know, what are your plans for the holidays? And have you ever regifted a gift? So we don't need to get too specific. So, I mean, I don't want to be encouraging people to stalk us.
Okay, so Paul gave me a copy of The Beard of the Mirror, and I totally regifted that.
I knew it. I noticed that it wasn't on your account yet.
No.
It's still on your wish list.
I actually have Beard in the Mirror. I waited the day after it went, the day after the sale ended to purchase it, so I'd buy it at full price.
Aww.
Well, that was very kind of you.
Yeah, no, it's actually right here. It's sitting on my desktop, unused, unloved.
Still waiting for that Argle Fump Let's Play, man. We need the Argle Fump. Wow, that's hard to say.
Argelfumfbump.
I love that.
Oh, I will go to that before, but I've got the list of all the games I need to play first. Yeah. Maestro Dark Talents, three Spirit of Revenge games, Dark Parable Swan Princess, Miles Edgeworth 2, Case 3, question mark? And
yeah.
And Dark Dimensions Blade Master.
Why only Case 3? Why not the whole game?
I've done Cases 1 and 2, right? I think that's why I put question mark next to it.
Oh.
Is it because they didn't get a lot of views? Or
I don't think they got any views. I think what I'd do is live stream.
It's because I'm not on it.
Oh.
I know.
You didn't invite Diana? Man, no, that hurts.
He didn't.
She was on
that's
the one
video.
He never
invites me to do his Let's Plays either.
What yeah, you guys funny. Were both on, like, the...
That was your bachelor party.
That's right. Have we ever talked about
that
on the podcast?
That was the best bachelor party
before?
Ever.
Before Michael's wedding, we had a bachelor party.
We
on,
played Miles
on Skype, where we played Ace Attorney games on Skype.
And I just weirded everyone out by saying how hot Miles Edgeworth is, like, over and over. So fun.
It was fun. It was one of the few times Michael and I actually got to hang out in real life, too. We were both kind of hunched around his computer. And I think there was a big, big fluffy dog hanging out, too, if I recall.
Yeah. I know that dog.
I remember that. I didn't remember what game we played. I remember the dog.
It was Miles Edgeworth.
Yeah. That was the best bachelor party ever.
I was going to say with the Miles Edgeworth, I see what happened there. There was like a 5-month gap in between the first half of Case 2 and the second half of Case 2, and I had forgotten all the characters and the storyline, and so that's why.
Yeah. But you haven't even gotten to the one where you helped out with the proofreading and the localization yet.
I know, I've got to go on to that,
one
I
of
suppose.
My friends just played it, actually, currently playing it, and he got to the part that you proofread, and the only reason I remember... What part you proofread is because you told me you put a My Little Pony joke in it, and I was about ready to kill you.
They took it out. Did they put it back in?
No, yes. They changed it, I think. They like it wasn't the same My Little Pony joke.
Did they make it? It was the horse statue. Because if you look at it, it's like, look at this horse statue sparkling in the twilight.
Yeah, I had like a subtle joke like that, I thought.
Yeah. It's great. Miles Edgeworth is now canonically a brony. It's fantastic.
No.
Yep. Sorry. I should say this is so the thing we're talking about. If anyone doesn't know, this is the fan translation of Ace Attorney 2, which has never gotten an official translation. When they were looking for volunteers for people to help out with it, Michael was one of the people who worked on it, and he snuck My Little Pony jokes into it.
I don't know. I also tried to sneak in a Phoenix Wright reference, which. Sounds stupid, but that was one of my pet peeves of in the first game, was that Phoenix was never mentioned by name. They just talked about the guy in blue. And so I'm like, forget that. I'm putting in an actual reference to Phoenix Wright. So I want to see if they actually put his name in there.
No, I think they took it out.
Oh, you should have made Phoenix / Maya canon while you were at it.
Well, I didn't know this, but you know how you can see them in Miles Edgeworth 1, like off the bridge?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there's a place where you can
robot.
See them in the second game that I never found.
Really?
Yeah, it's in the last case. If you like examine something twice, it like zooms up, and Phoenix and Maya are just hanging out. Like, by the building. And I was like, oh, hey!
They're definitely dating. Although then things go horribly wrong. Oh, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Oh, God.
All those poor...
Gets into Apollo justice.
Poor people.
Anyway, anyone else re-gifting stories besides Michael re-gifting the my handcrafted Steam code that I gave him? Slaved over it for hours.
I can't think of any funny stories off the top of my head now that I've ever re-gifted.
I have one story. I hope my mom's not listening to this one, because we were on the receiving end of this re-gift.
Oh.
But we opened one Christmas morning, we opened up a box that had had some nice candles in it, and I like that. I actually, you know, I like candles. I have one on my desk right now that I bought from my hometown that smells like pine trees, and I think it's very nice. But these ones were great. I opened them up, and there was a handwritten note inside. that said, smells very strongly. They smell strongly. It was just that I believe she had left there for herself as a reminder.
Wow.
So she did later cop to that being a gift that she had received from someone else the previous year.
That's really funny.
And in fact, it did smell very strongly. It was gingerbread. Yeah, it was. Yeah, you couldn't let that one for very long, to be honest. But yeah, anyone else? Anyone doing anything in general particularly exciting over the holidays? Any cool plans on your YouTube channels or anything? I know you're both very popular YouTubers.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm not. First of all.
Yeah, I've been losing viewers steadily. I just did the math the other day. I've been going down 14% every single year since 2011 and basically every metric.
Dude, just wait till that new Nancy Drew game hits, then they'll all come flocking back.
But it started in 2011. I mean, the hiatus started in 2015. So, I mean, this was something that had started, like, I mean, had been ongoing for like 4 years before they sort of stopped making Nancy Drew games.
I mean, I don't have any fun channel plans for over Christmas. I'll be going to MAGFest in January.
Yeah.
But other than that...
That's what, like, mid-January? Late January?
Early.
January.
It's like
early
the first January. Weekend.
That's right. That's why I can never go.
You should come.
I can't. I travel. I'm on the road for an entire week, Christmas week. I cannot keep traveling or go back home and then drive back to Maryland or wherever, Virginia, wherever it is. Oh, God. Too much. It would be cool, though, because there's, I mean, a bunch of game cola people go, right? Like, I think I saw pictures of you and Anna.
Yeah, Anna and I went last year. The year before, I think Joe went.
Yeah.
But
and I mean, Mike Ridgway used to be like one of the organizers of the whole
thing.
Yeah,
he did.
I
wonder what happened to that.
Yeah, I think there were some problems. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, and Lizzo and I went when I was in college. It was like one of the first years they did it. But
it's so huge now.
Yeah. It's. I think it might be too much for me. Too much. I don't know. It sounds like I mean, the way it's always described to me is a giant, like, you know, 72-hour party, and that's not my thing. I'm like an hour long party where I can sit in the corner and play with the dog kind of person.
I mean,
and I don't think they even have dogs at MAGFest.
No, I don't think so. I'm gonna be doing research for my thesis, so it's not gonna be a whole 72-hour party for me.
What is your thesis about, which would require you to go to MAGFest?
Well, funny story. I'm actually getting my university to pay for my MAGFest trip.
Really?
My flight and my hotel and food.
What?
Because I am doing research on the gaming subculture, structure, identity formation. It's a sociology thesis. But I was like, hey, will you give me money? And they were like, yeah, sure. And I was like, cool, thanks. That was it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Especially because MAGFest rooms cost a pretty penny. So
Yeah.
I'm like, well, if I can get a room in the Gaylord, I'm going to do it and make my university pay for it. And I did. It's going to be pretty great.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous. There was one year when I was actually, like, I had applied to show off, I think, The Beard in the Mirror at it, but I just, schedule-wise, I just could not make it work. It's just, nah. If they did it in February, I'm literally never doing anything the entire month of February.
They used to, like, do it in February.
Yeah, that's probably the year I went.
Yeah, I know they've done it in February before, like 3 years ago or
something. February is such a dead zone for me, but, like, a week after New Year's, I just can't.
No, this is so much better for me because it's on my school vacation.
Yeah, no, that's probably why they do it.
Yeah, because all of us are
college
students.
It lines up with people's winter breaks. Yep. Oh. Some year. Yeah. Now I'm sad again.
Don't be sad. Some year when I'm going, you'll go too.
I think we're about ready to start wrapping this one up. Thanks everyone for listening. You can follow us all on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen. Michael is at Arglefump, and Diana is at Ace Fangirl. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, or just visit orock.com for the complete library. Our theme song is Dead Monster by March of the Danger Men. You can check them out on SoundCloud. And as we've been talking about this whole episode, our newest game, the Francie Drew and Friends Collection, is out now on Steam. You just missed the release sale, unfortunately, so you're going to have to pay full price, but it's worth it. Everyone, please go check it out. Anything you wanted to plug, Diana? Your Twitter was at Ace Fangirl. Your YouTube is also Ace Fangirl, correct?
Yep.
Your Facebook? Yeah.
And I think that's it. I don't think we're missing anything there.
You can also find Diana on GameCola.net, the actual internet website.
This is true. I am there. I do some things. Sometimes.
I've heard you on the podcast and before.
I haven't been on the podcast in forever.
No.
So, no, I was going to be on this month, but they're talking about Xenoblade 2. And Joe was like, how much do you know? And I was like, I know nothing. Don't talk about it. I'm getting it for Christmas. And he's like, you might want to stay away then. And I was like, all right, fine, whatever. Oh. Bye.
And you missed it a few months ago when I was a guest star, too.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe I missed that one. I was upset.
Oh, it's all right. But yeah, so you can check out Diana's stuff all over the internet, and definitely do that.
Thanks.
And I think that's about it. Anything else you wanted to add, Michael?
Nope. I can save it for next month.
Good, because we only have an hour, according to our host, so we gotta stop right now. All right, bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
So we have another question from the many, many O-Rock fans, the O-Rockers on Twitter. So I will find it now.
Okay.
Yeah, and it won't be quiet and awkward because I know exactly where it is.